Another good morning that God has given us, and I think today we'll try and conclude on what we've been learning about the covenant, and just looking at the differences in the covenant and the old and the new, and why it is important that we strike the balance. And yesterday we looked at striking the balance between faith and action, and knowing what we believe. And knowing that what we have believed must translate to the life that we live. And that's really the basic principle of our faith. If our belief and our actions do not work together, then we are lying. We lie. That's why the Bible says, if we claim to be in the light, but we do not live according to the light, we make him God to be a liar. That means we are expected to live according to the light and according to the revelation that we know. So it is very important that our lives are balanced, our lives are reflective of Christ, they are reflective of the hope that we have been called to, and it is our effort. You remember we read, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control virtue, you know, and long-suffering, endurance, and all these things. And anyone who does this will bear fruit. But those who don't do it will be blind and far-sighted, and they won't see, they won't know that they've been cleansed. And so today I wanted to look at access, and we are granted access, and that is the I think it's the greatest benefit of the new covenant. And hopefully by the grace of God tomorrow we'll start looking at something else. Yeah, but just to look at a few verses, and that will help us to understand the access that we've been given. And we'll just do a few readings, and then we'll tie it up together. So we look at Hebrews chapter 9. And the Bible says that the first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle, and in the first room were a lampstand, a table, sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called a holy place. And then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was a second room called the most holy place, or the holy of holies. And in that room there were a golden incense altar and the wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Now inside the Ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that had budded or sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the Ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched all out and over the Ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail. So verse 6, when these things were in place, the priests regularly entered the first room. That means they entered the holy place. They performed their religious duties. Now remember, in the holy place there was bread, you know, where they had placed before the Lord, where they will eat it in the presence of the Lord. It was called the bread of the presence. They will also light the incense. They will offer prayers from there. But it was only the high priest that could enter the holy of holies. And remember, even the worshippers themselves could not enter the holy of, could not enter even the, you know, the holy place, because it was only the priests. But then they could enter the outer court. And maybe, let me see if I can, if I can show a picture of that. Okay, I'll try and see if I can, if I can show a picture of how it looked like. Just a second. Yes, let me see if I can present this so that you can have an idea of overview of the tabernacle. Okay. Just push it here. Again. Okay. The way that it has placed it up. Okay. So maybe as we progress, I'll be able to share it. It really is. It had like three parts, which was the courtyard or the outer court, then it had the holy place, and then it had the most holy place. Okay, what do I do to make this possible? Okay, stop presenting. Then, okay, good. Yeah, I thought it was not possible. Okay, good. Yeah, so if you can see my screen, the tabernacle, which was the meeting place where the people came to meet God, remember? It looked like this in appearance, or even if you want a true picture, it looked something like this. So it was just, a square place that it had a fence of white linen. White linen represents, righteous acts of people. So white linen was the fence. Now, when people entered, they entered on the east side through, so maybe just coming now to the map, you can see it had a fence of white linen, and then it had a gate. There's only one gate. Now, the gate had curtains of purple, of blue representing the heavens, of purple representing kingship, and there was only one gate to go and meet God. And this one gate represents Christ, and you can see it's on the east gate, and that's why even later on when the temple is built, east gate is important. So they will enter, which represents Christ, and then when they enter, they will find the altar of burnt offering. Now, this was made of it was where they would burn everything. There were four horns of the altar, which we have seen. So this is it. So this was the place where, okay, you can't see my pointer, and there's nothing I can show about it. So if you see the altar of burnt offering, this was the place where you would find all the animals being killed. So someone will enter with their sheep, with their goat, whatever they are offering. They will place their hands on the head of the animal and give it to the priest. So the priest will slaughter it, and then pour the different things into the altar. As it's burnt, it goes before God as an offering, and then the person will leave. And then they will divide, what is needed for this. So the altar of burnt offering was not really an interesting sight, because you can imagine so much blood. It was so bloody, and it actually represents the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was granting us access. Remember, the old covenant, or rather the old covenant is a shadow of the things that are to come in the new covenant. Okay, so everything that you read in the Old Testament, and you can read that from Colossians 2:16 to 17, it speaks of the law as a shadow. It's a shadow, so it's a pointing finger. Anytime you think of the Old Testament, think of it as a pointing finger to Christ. For example, when Abraham is told to sacrifice his own son, and he goes, think of Christ, being that sacrifice, being that lamb that was offered in the place of Isaac. We are Isaac that are being taken, who are supposed to be killed. But as we went, then God provided a lamb. So God provided a lamb in the form of Christ. So anytime you think of the Old Testament, think of it as a shadow. So Christ's sacrifice here. Then there was a bronze laver. Now, this bronze laver was more of like a washing bowl or a washing plate, which was made of bronze, which had some mirrors. And the priests, after they have, done the sacrifice and they want to enter into the holy place, then they would wash themselves. Then they enter into the holy place. Now, in the holy place, you had the table of showbread, which had bread that they call the bread of the presence, and this bread was kept there for a week, and it will never grow moldy, and it was placed before the Lord, and the priests will eat it. Remember that time when David needed bread, and he ate the bread of the presence, which is only for priests, but he ate it. Then think of the lampstand. So here there is light that comes from the lampstand, and then which had to have oil. You remember they were supposed to light the lamp of the Lord and never allow it to go out. Think of it, how they were to keep, to keep that that offering to God, to keep oil in their lives, to keep, to keep the fire. These are just shadows of how we are expected. We are supposed to sit before the presence of God. We are supposed to eat of His word. We are supposed to keep the oil in our hearts burning. And then you can see they also had the altar of incense. That incense, remember, is prayers. So these are things that are expected of believer in our ministry. First, you offer, you ask for forgiveness. Then you wash yourself with the word. You cleanse yourself. You ask for purification. You consecrate yourself. Then you enter into the bread of the presence. Then you eat with the Lord. You eat from His word. You hear from Him. You partake of Him. Then you keep your oil burning. You keep that consistency of fellowship. Then you offer your prayers, the altar of incense. Then there is now the most holy place. Now there was only one thing in the most holy place. That you can imagine it was dark. And the priest would only enter the most holy place once a year. And this he will, if he, and you know, if he enters here, he has to go with bells in his feet. And because this was a place where God's presence will come. And in the most holy place is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And in the Ark of the Covenant, it was made of acacia wood. Let me see if I have an image somewhere. So that at times I believe it's good when you see something, it gives you an image that you can remember. And let me see. So let's see if we can get an image of the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, so just a second. There are many descriptions of it, but we will just try and look at a few. Look at just one. Yeah, so then from there then we'll be able to make sense from it. Let's see. So I will present that. Yeah, so when you see the Ark of the Covenant.
According to tradition, the Ark of the Covenant is the container used to carry the Ten Commandments brought down from Mount
Yeah,
Sinai
so
by
maybe just
Moses.
to avoid the video, I will just look for a copy of the image. Yes,
According to
and pause it.
tradition,
Yes.
angels sculpted from
Yeah,
gold.
okay. Sure. So I'll pause it. So you can see that it was made of acacia wood, but was gold plated. It had these metal rings, and then this wood was to carry it. Remember, no one was supposed to touch it. If you remember Uzzah, it was falling, then he touched it, then he died. God struck him dead because he thought that the Ark of the Covenant needed support from God. Then we have the cherubim that they were covering, and then this was the mercy seat. This is called the mercy seat. Then inside the chest, there were the tablets of stone, which is the law was placed. And then apart from that, there was also put the rod of Aaron, which had sprouted. Remember, there was a place where people were competing with Aaron, and then God told them, "Okay, all of you bring your staff." Then Aaron's staff produced flowers. You can imagine a dry stick produced flowers to show that God's election. So it shows the election. So you have the ark, the you have the election. So that means you're chosen by God. The fact that you have access to the new, to the most holy of holies is that you're chosen of God. Then the law is there, but above the law is what we call the mercy seat. Now the mercy seat is what covers the law, and then blood was poured by the priest, was sprinkled on the mercy seat. So what happens is that God's presence will come and light up just under here, and there will be so much light. And when God comes to the mercy seat, when he sees the blood, then he shows mercy. Then he does not see the law. Remember, the law is against you. The law is against us. The law speaks of our sin. But when God comes, he sees the mercy seat. He sees the blood, then his presence lights up the most holy place or the Holy of Holies, and then the priest will offer prayers and the sins of the people are forgiven for that year until another year. But if the high priest came and he's found unworthy, the Bible says that he will die inside there. And what happened is that he has to be pulled out using strings, because no one can go inside to pull him out. So just to take us back to our image, so think of what Christ has done for us. Think of the access that we have. You can imagine all the Israelites were outside, but it's only the priests will come in. They will enter, then your sacrifice is given, they wash themselves, then they go inside. Now inside, they do their part, their normal business, then only the high priest will enter the most holy place. And when he did that, then what happens is that when the presence of God came, then the cloud, the smoke went up to show that God was received their offering. So now, just to go back to our reading. Now, remember, all these things are a shadow of the things to come. So this is the beauty of the Word of God. It's showing us that we have access. Now, going back, it says that by these regulations, verse 8, the Holy Spirit, okay, verse 6, when these things were in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people he had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place, that means to the Holy of Holies, was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For the old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect until a better system could be established. Verse 11, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now look at what the Bible is telling us, that the tabernacle, remember, was made as a shadow. It was made as a pattern of the heavenly things. Remember, God told Moses, make sure that you make everything according to the pattern I've shown you, according to what you've seen in heaven. So what Moses saw is how it was made. But now you see, Christ, who is our high priest, did not enter the tabernacle that is a shadow. He entered the real one, the one in heaven, the one that Moses saw. He entered the real one, the one that is not made by human hands. He entered the presence of the Most High God. And he entered with his own sacrifice. He entered with his own blood. He did not go with the blood of goats and bulls. He went with his own blood. He entered there, and he now lives to make intercession for us. He now pays the price for us. He pays for our redemption forever. Now, what that means is that we have access to the most holy place. We have access to the Holy of Holies. Look at verse 24, Hebrews chapter 9. It says, for Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once and after that comes judgment, so Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him. Then, if you jump to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly," look at the access that we have, "we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place, the Holy of Holies, because of the blood of Jesus." That's why when you're praying and you're pleading the blood of Jesus, you're saying, "God, I come by the blood. I enter by the blood. I come by the sacrifice that you made." You're made righteous. You're already made righteous, and now you have access. Look at verse 20. It says, "By his death, Jesus opened a new and living, life-giving way through the curtain." He entered through the curtain into the most holy place. Remember, the curtain was torn from top to down. That means it was torn by the hand of God. He entered through the curtain into the most holy place. "And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him." That means we go in faith. We go in sincerity of faith with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. "For our guilty consciences have now been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly to the without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Think of that. Look at how difficult it was in the old covenant to access God. I mean, to access the divine presence, to access the presence of God. And the Bible tells us now God, Jesus, has opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, into the Holy of Holies. We have access. We have access. Let's just look at one final verse, then we can conclude it. Hebrews chapter 4. And when we read verse 16, it says, okay, maybe we can read from verse 14 so that we can see it. It says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of them, all of the same testing." That means he was tested in every way, just as we are. "Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God," to the throne of grace. Remember, this is the throne of God, the throne of grace. "There we will receive mercy and find grace." The word there is lambano, take hold of grace. We'll receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it the most. The reason why when you start to pray, you should not be thinking about what you've done. Just ask God for his forgiveness, and he washes your consciousness. And you have access, direct access, to the Holy of Holies, to the most holy place. And there you can speak to your Father. And when you can speak to your Father, what do you cry? Say, "Mercy. Lord, have mercy." Whatever situation you're facing, just ask mercy. Why? Because Christ, Jesus Christ, has granted us access, and he's in the most holy place. He's seated there. And the Bible says he's seated, and he's told, "Sit down until I make your enemies your footstool." Can you imagine what access we have? What grace we have? What access that God has granted us by the sacrifice of Jesus? All those bureaucracies that were there were quashed away in Christ. That is why, as a believer, when you know this, then you will not start fearing that, "Oh, my prayers are not going." No, it is by faith, full assurance of faith, that you go to the Father. That is access. It's just like If you go to visit someone, you cannot enter their bedroom, right? But a child can have access to the bedroom. A child of that house has access to the bedroom. Why? Because he belongs to that. So even if, no matter how much your friend loves you, there's a place he will limit you to access. You might not access his bedroom. You might access the kitchen, you might access the washroom, you might access the sitting room, but there's a place where he'll tell you, no, this one you don't have access. But in Christ, we have access. And that to me is one great encouragement that I felt that we can share. And I pray that we've had understanding of Hebrews, because ideally Hebrews compares the law, compares the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hebrews brings it together. Hebrews was actually written to the Hebrews, because it's like the theology was, Paul was trying to help them understand that, you know what, the law is not, it's not the end. The old covenant was leading to the new. Christianity is a fulfillment of the law of the old covenant. It is now it rebirth. It is it made better. Better promises, better covenant, better direction, you know, and it is guaranteed by who? By Christ himself. And God himself says, I will be your God. I will guide you. I will watch over you. I will take care of you. And I am paying for your salvation forever. Our job is simply to believe it, to live according to the life that he has called us to do, walk in faith, have access to the Father, fellowship with him on a continuing basis, and using the examples, keep our oil burning, keep the incense going, keep the eating of the word, reading of the word, washing ourselves with the word, reflecting ourselves on the lover, seeing how the word speaks to us. Now that is our spiritual act of worship. And that's why Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, in view of God's mercies, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we have a responsibility today. Christ has given us access. Now, can we worship God? Can we live a life of worship? Can we live a life that it's a consistency that, you know what, it doesn't matter day or night. It doesn't matter job or no job. It doesn't matter contract or no contract. It doesn't matter sickness or health. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, but I must be found accessing. I must be found being in the holy place. I must be found worshiping. I must be found taking care, taking his word. I must be found in his presence. And that is the access that is granted to the most holy place by Christ. Access, we have access. And that to me is really what I feel is the greatest blessing that Jesus Christ sacrifice did for us. So I'll stop there and I'll allow my sister, if you have any reflections or any concerns or questions, yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
Just very reflective. I don't have any question, but it's very. I've learned a lot on how. Reflecting on how, when now, the curtain was broken. That is now what I was reflecting when you are sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you so much.
Yeah, we thank God. Yeah, we have a new living way through the curtain. It was cut, and life-giving way. And each time you just think of that, God gives you life. No matter how, you know, whatever you've done, the week, how it's been, maybe you said something wrong to someone, maybe you messed up. But the time you think that Christ has given us access, he's paid the price once and for all. We just need to connect to that. And we just need to say, God, I come by your blood. Cleanse me. And let us pray. And for sure, if you've never given your life to Jesus, it is only the blood of Jesus that purifies us, that gives us access to God through what Christ has done. And You just need to ask for the cleansing of the blood. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've been teaching us from Hebrews. Indeed, it is not easy to teach some of these things. And indeed, even Paul say that there's so much that we need to learn, but we are slow of learning. And even I myself, I need so much to learn from you. And thank you for the grace that you've given us to teach and to understand it and to even learn from you. And I pray that we might have the confidence, we might have the full assurance of faith. We might know that a new life-giving way has been opened through the curtain. Access has been given to the most holy place, to the Holy of Holies. And we have access to God. And by that access that you've given us, we can take hold of mercy and grace for our time of need. Indeed, today might be our time of need. 10 years from now might be our time of need. But indeed, as you've taught us to continually be in your presence, to continually light our lamps, to continually offer incense, to continually partake of the word, to continually be before your presence, O God, I pray that you give us the grace and the consistency to be disciplined and to be faithful and to know who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the church. Thank you for its members who will come today. Thank you that you're calling them forth from the north, from the east, from the west, from the south. That indeed you establish us, O God. You establish our families. You establish our children. You establish our going in and our coming out, O God. That, Lord, everything that we do is blessed of you, O God. Guide us, protect us. You know the needs even before we mention them, even the unspoken needs of God. You say, delight yourself in the Lord and you shall fulfill the secret longings of our hearts, O God, the desires of our hearts, O God. I know there are things that even we cannot mention to men, but you hear them, and I pray that you answer them. And I pray that we shall have the full assurance of the access that you've granted us by faith through Christ. I pray all this in Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Yeah.